Good morning, all. There's a lot in that reading, and there's a lot in all the lectionary readings today. But as Margaret said earlier, we're going to concentrate on what Jesus said, "I am the way." I wonder what you do before you set out on a long journey in a car. I'm always ultra cautious, because if I get lost, I start to panic. I always study the map, write down all the road numbers, where I turn right or left or go round roundabouts, and the names of all the towns and villages that I should be going through. Even now, with my sat nav and a postcode, I always plan out my route with a road map before I set out. One of my pet hates is driving round the Northampton Ring Road at night. A niece of mine used to live in Kettering, who I used to visit, and it always involved coming back home round the Northampton Ring Road, sort of about midnight. When you go round Northampton, is a long ring road, and you get to a roundabout which has two roads signposted. One says east, the other says west. As I never know where I am in relation to Northampton, or anywhere else in fact, the signpost is absolutely useless. This may be a bit how Thomas felt when Jesus said he was going to prepare a place for them in his Father's house, and follows up that statement by saying, "You know the way to the place where I am going." That wasn't enough for Thomas, who goes on to say, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" It's probably fair to say that this question may be what all the disciples wanted to ask, but didn't want to appear too ignorant or stupid. It's a bit like teacher saying to a class, "Are you all quite happy with that? Any questions?" Nobody dares speak up. Jesus, at this stage, must be feeling quite exasperated with the disciples, because they had been with him for the last 3 years. They had seen his intimate relationship with God as his Father. They'd been present at his miracles. They'd watched him heal the sick, raise the dead, and been taught about the Bible. But still, they did not understand. On the other hand, the disciples were feeling exceedingly anxious, probably an understatement, by Jesus' reference to his own death and resurrection. For 3 years, they had been close to Jesus. He had become their rock. He had rescued them in trouble. He had loved them. And now, in a matter of days, he was going to be arrested, tried, condemned, and put to death. They would be left feeling scared, abandoned, and alone. Like the disciples, we are feeling anxious about the future. We have always been lucky. It has been said that the baby boomer generation has had the best of life. Housing, welfare state, NHS, social security, and free education. Whereas younger people no longer get free post-school education. There is no guarantee of a job, certainly no job for life, no prospect of having enough money for a house, or maybe even to save for a pension. In a materialistic society, many people are just out for themselves, with little concern for the less fortunate. Added to all this now is COVID-19, a minuscule virus that can only be seen under a powerful microscope, which has enveloped the world. And there's no quick fix. This evening, Boris Johnson is going to be announcing plans for the beginning to come out of the lockdown. And a lot of people are beginning to feel even more anxious in case the virus becomes more virulent than it has been already. So what is the way forward? Are we going to be focused on statistics? Or are we going to be looking to Jesus as he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life? I suppose our response might be on how good our understanding of what Jesus means by saying, I am the way. The Jews talked much about the path or the way in which people must walk and the ways of God. God told Moses that the people should walk in the path he had commanded. In Isaiah 20:31, the Jews are told, this is the way, walk in it. And later in chapter 35, verse 8, that there would be a highway called the way of holiness. And it was the psalmist's prayer in Psalm 27, which said, teach me your way, O Lord. So the Jews were familiar with the terminology and much about the way of God. But here it is Jesus saying, I am the way. This must have horrified the Jews. What did it mean? Suppose you are in a strange town and ask for directions and the person replies, go down the street, turn right, take the second left, then at the roundabout, take the third exit, and it is just on the right as you go round a bend in the road. The chances are you will be lost by the time you get to the roundabout. But supposing the person we ask says, come, I'll take you there. In this case, the person to us is the way. We can't miss it. That is what Jesus does for us. He does not only give advice and directions, he takes us by the hand and leads us. He strengthens us and guides us personally every day. He does not tell us the way, he is the way. And I think this is exemplified by the poem George VI quoted in his first Christmas message to the nation in 1939. And it's probably well known by you all, but I will read part of it anyway. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than life. That shall be that and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod safely into the night. For the Jews, God was transcendent and could only be approached by following carefully laid down rituals. Certainly not addressed as Father. That was much too personal. Jesus does speak in that intimate way and personal way. And what's more, he states that it is through a righteous person rather than a religious performance that God is to be approached. And he is that person, and he alone. Jesus is not a way, he's the way. I wonder how often you have heard the phrase, I only feel really alive if I'm with the person I love. This is how our relation with Jesus should be. It means that we discover who the real Jesus is by studying the Bible, that we pray to Jesus, we talk to him, we listen to him, and ask his guidance and help with our personal problems. It means we make clear decisions to personally follow Jesus and dedicate our lives to him, regardless of what other people say or do. Relationship of absolute trust. It doesn't mean it's an insurance policy against disaster. There are many rocks that can trip us up. And if we had read the Acts reading, which is part of today's lectionary, we would have heard of Stephen's stoning. But not all rocks are used for evil things. In the psalm we read at the beginning of the service, the psalmist talks about God being his rock and fortress. And in the first letter of Peter, Jesus is referred to as the cornerstone, the precious and immovable foundation stone of God. We need to constantly remember that God is our rock and our fortress, even in this difficult time. One of the big identity statements of Jesus is in the words of this gospel. Without any ifs or buts, he declares himself as the way. God is accessible through him because he is God. These words are a gift, that in him we have the deepest personal security in life, knowing that all can be found in him. We will be swamped by COVID statistics for many months to come, but we are given an inner peace because of our relationship with God. Amen.